Our speaker for today is Dr. John R. Church of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dr. Church is one of the approved evangelists of the Methodist Church. He is no stranger to our radio audience, having spoken to you numerous times before. You've heard him in person, no doubt, and have likewise read some of his books. Dr. Church, we're glad to have you with us for this special broadcast. You're always welcome at Asbury College and on our programs.
Thank you, Dr. Callis, and greetings, friends of Radio Land. We're happy to have this privilege of speaking to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite your attention at this time to some verses of Scripture found in Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, and I begin reading with the 38th verse. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. That's reading beginning with the 38th down through the 42nd verse of the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. There are a great many people that have the mistaken idea that in this incident that we have just read about, Jesus is criticizing Martha for being industrious. My friends, if that is the conception that you have of this story, then you have missed the point altogether. I have heard a great many people talk as though Jesus was unjust in criticizing Martha on this occasion. Some time ago in the upper room, I read one of our devotionals where some minister had commented on this incident and rather apologized for the way Jesus talked to Martha and wound up by saying, well, after all, we need both the Marthas and the Marys. Some time ago, I was talking to a lady in private, and she said to me in a rather proud way, she said, well, you know, I'm one of these Martha type. I'm industrious. I'm a great worker. And then sometime later, I had another lady say to me, well, after all, we can't all be Marys. We have to have some Marthas to keep this world going. Well, friends, if that is the idea that you have of this passage of Scripture, then you've missed the point altogether. Jesus is not criticizing Martha for being industrious. In fact, there is nothing in the Bible that encourages or condones laziness. One of the most beautiful tributes that was ever paid to womanhood is found in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, where Solomon pays tribute to his mother. And one of the outstanding things that he says about his mother is that she works willingly with her hands and looks well to the ways of her household, that she rises early to see that her house is in comfort. And you know, the Bible tells us that anyone that will not work shall not eat. And the Bible tells us that one that fails to provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. And we need to remember that Jesus himself was a great worker. He spent 30 years of his short life working in a carpenter's shop, doing hard manual labor. I believe he had calluses in his hand, and I believe he knew the ache of toil and strain. And my personal opinion is that Mary knew how to work. I believe that she could make up a good bed. I believe she could cook a good meal. I don't believe that Mary was a sloppy, careless housekeeper. But the real gist of this story is this. Martha was so busy about things. She was so cumbered about serving that she didn't have time for the best things of life. In other words, she had become enslaved by things, just like many people are enslaved today. Can you imagine having the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at your house for just a short period of time, and then spend all the time that he's there in the kitchen fussing and stewing over little secondary things? Can you imagine how the President of the United States would feel if he should come to your house for a visit? And instead of you enjoying his fellowship, you should spend your time in the kitchen fussing and fuming around over preparing a little meal. That's the thing that Jesus was criticizing Martha about. She got so busy about little things, secondary things, that she didn't have time and room for the big, important things of life. Mary knew how to do little things, but she knew how to stop and take time out and sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the truth as it fell fresh from the lips of the Son of God. And friends, do you know that one of the greatest dangers of this day and age in which we live is right at this point? And nearly all of us are in danger of getting cumbered about many things and becoming involved in little secondary things and miss the best things out of our life. There are many of our church people today are in danger right at that point. They are so busy running here and yonder, doing this and that, and keeping the machinery of the church going, that they don't have time to pray, and they don't have time to take time to be holy and let God speak to them. They really don't have time to be religious. They are so tired and worn out at night, and they come in that they don't have time to read their Bible and get down and pray and really have communion with God. They're just rushing around, doing this and that and the other. I have a friend who went to Mars some years ago, and a man took him over to New York City to show him an escalator. He thought that it was the first one that my friend had ever seen. But my friend looked at it and said, "Well, that's nothing." He said, "We have one of those things in every Methodist church in the South." And his friend turned to him with surprise, and he said, "Why, I had no idea there were any in the South." He said, "I thought this was the only one in the United States." And this man said, "Oh, yes," said, "we have one in every Methodist church." Said, "The preacher's in the basement turning the crank, and the members are on the steps, and the preacher's just winding them up all the time. And he's so busy doing that he doesn't have time to pray and meditate and get a message from God." I know a preacher in North Carolina, an excellent man, lovable character. Everybody just thought the world of him, but he was a gardener, a great gardener. He loved to raise flowers, and that wasn't anything wrong in that. But the trouble was, he just planted his garden and everybody else's garden. One year, he had six different gardens rented and planted in flowers, and he'd be up at 5 o'clock in the morning out there in that flower garden growing dahlias and gladiolas and sweet peas and other things like that, and he'd carry them around to the hospitals and to the shut-ins and just make people glad. But the poor fellow, when he went into his pulpit on Sunday morning, he was as empty and as dry as a last year's bird's nest. It was pitiful to listen to him. You could just tell that he was beating the air and groping and grasping after something to say to the people. He never did pretend to preach more than 20 minutes, and a lot of times he'd have to fill a part of that time with newspaper clippings. And it was a tragedy because the people came out there hungry, came out there with needs in their soul. They came out there expecting to get a message from God. But this man had been so busy raising flowers and doing things that he had missed the greatest thing that any minister can do. And that is to get a message from God and stand before his people on Sunday morning and speak to them with power and authority and feed them upon the bread of life. You know, that's the danger in the business world. There's a lot of men today that are so busy looking after their business and making a living and buying automobiles and fur coats and things like that for their wives and providing for their children to go off to college, that they don't have time to be a good husband and they don't have time to be a good father. They're not hardly acquainted with their wives. They're so engrossed in the things of the business world. They come in at night, they're tired, and in the morning the first thing they do is to stick their nose in the stock, a report of the stock market in the newspaper, and if they should happen to kiss some other man's wife goodbye some morning, they never would know it. They're just so wrapped up in their business that they don't take time to be a husband to their wife. A lot of men so busy that they've never taken time to get out in the woods with their boys and walk around and get acquainted with them and really form friendships with them. And there are a lot of women that are so busy about things that they are worn out and nervous and fractious and can't be a wife to their husband. I know a woman down in North Carolina. She's one of these cranky housekeepers, you know, just keep her head wrapped up in a towel and running around with a mop in one hand and with a dusting cloth in the other. And she just kept her house spick and span, just not a speck of dust anywhere. She'd throw newspapers all the way from the front door to the kitchen to keep you from walking on the wax floors. She'd make her husband pull off his shoes on the back porch and put on felt slippers. And that poor fellow was perfectly miserable. He couldn't sit down in a chair and relax. He couldn't stretch out across the bed and read the newspaper. He didn't dare pile a newspaper down on the floor. If he had, why, she'd have had a conniption fit. And finally, that fella just simply got so burnt out with it that he just left her. And she couldn't understand it. She went around and cried on the neighbors. shoulder and said, "Why, I've slaved and I've worked and I've just kept the clean house for him and done everything that I could to make a good home for it." But she hadn't made home. She had made it a prison. She had robbed it of its real significance of a place to come and rest and have fellowship with your companion. But she'd made it a place where you were perfectly miserable. And you know, friends, it's an awful easy thing to get wrapped up in things. You can just get so busy about things, doing this and that and the other, that the first thing you know, you've lost the best thing out of life. That's the greatest danger in this day and age in which we live. We're so busy with things. Pastors are so busy. Evangelists are so busy. Everybody's so busy that we don't have time to take time to be holy. One fine thing that the Oxford Group Movement emphasized, and something that would be well for all of us to emphasize, and that was that time of silence, that time of waiting on God, that time of waiting for divine leadership. Friends, it's not only important that you should talk to God, but it's important that God should talk to you. God says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." Now let's take time today, this day in which we're living. Let's get quiet. Get off somewhere and get the noise of the world out of your ears and let God speak to your soul. Get a message from heaven and receive strength and grace to go out and live for God. Some years ago, during the other world war, there was a very proficient nurse was helping perform a very delicate operation. She dropped 3 different instruments, and the doctor that was performing the operation scolded her. She looked up and said, "I'm so nervous, I don't know what to do. I'm either going to have to see a psychiatrist or go to church." And the great surgeon said, "I would advise you to go to church."
Amen.
Said, "Get still. Let God speak to you. Let the healing balm of quietness flow over your soul and let the Spirit of God speak in your heart, and then you'll find something that will rest you of your nervous condition." A great many people today are on the verge of a nervous break. If they only knew it, it's because they haven't taken time to be holy. Martha was busy. That's all right. There are things that have to be done. Sure, the bed has to be made and the floors have to be swept. But after all, friends, our souls need to be fed, and we need to spend some time in communion with God. And let's find a place somewhere during the day where we can get still and shut out the noise of the world, and where we can hear God speak. And as we go along, let's take time to enjoy life. You husbands, take time enough to make love to your wife. Pay her some attention. She's hungry for it. And you wives, don't get so busy about clubs and church activities that you can't be a wife to your husband. And you parents, don't let your children grow up without ever getting acquainted with them. See if you can't find time in your busy life to really get acquainted with your child. I shall never forget those precious seasons when I was a boy growing up. Mother used to wash the supper dishes, and then she'd sit down with the old family Bible or Aunt Charlotte's Bible stories, and she would read to us children and talk to us about God and pray with us. You know, those are some of the sweetest recollections of my childhood. I cherish them above everything else. And you mothers out there in Radio Land, take time to teach your children to know God. You know, the greatest contribution that Susanna Wesley ever made to the world was taking time with her little boy, John, to get alone with him and talk to him about God and teach him to be religious. God help us to do that, is my earnest prayer. So glad to have had this privilege of speaking to you, and may the Spirit of God bless you, and may He keep you and present you faultless before His throne in glory. Amen.
We thank you, Dr. Church, for this timely message, and I'm sure, friend, that you've enjoyed listening to this message, which is so practical. May we all today begin anew to take time to be holy. Remember, you're listening to Voices from Asbury, coming to you from the campus of Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. We're expecting you to write us, write your request for prayer. We shall be glad to share not only your joys, but your burdens. We want to be a help to you. And remember that this broadcast is given for the express purpose to give you spiritual uplift and comfort to begin the day with and to carry on your program through life. May we each and all find time to be holy and to serve our God accordingly. And may God bless you.